SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Wear you out a little bit, then certainly that is the difference for a lot of people on Saturday with Chancelot losing that photograph and getting caught. So, and if that is the case, if that's what happened, well, then Jaramillo in the Amsterdam, you know, asking a lot of Chancelot when it wasn't necessary, and then being not necessarily in the best part of the track, did not distinguish himself really in these two visits on a horse that is obviously super talented. So I'm anxious to hear. I gave a lot of my thoughts yesterday as we talked to Suge and Greg Sacco. And Carlos Martin. And that was another part of this discussion, that what would have happened if Come Dancing had broken sharp, you know, from essentially the inside, and instead had to circle the field. So anyway, next couple of days between Andy and Paul Matisse and Dick, you know, Dick's very good with this stuff. He's a highly focused on track condition. But it has been I think we could declare it the summer of the dead rail. And how many years have all of you been playing Saratoga and coming here and watching? Even if you've never been, you don't have to come here to observe. But have we ever had this discussion? Saratoga dead rail? Never. It's one of those things that, you know, the weather patterns and the way the track is groomed, it just, and sometimes, you know, the track maintenance can't even, you know, they can sense it, but sometimes there's just no way to, you know, without digging the track up and laying the cushion back down. Well, Dick is good. Dick is great with this. Let him get his thoughts in. Jeff Bloom is going to join us. Speaking of Midnight Bizou, we'll get her schedule and her plan. Quite a few, particularly the sprinters, seem like they're going to take time off. And you know, it's funny, historically, that's always been a formula for success for sprinters taking. If there's one area in the Breeders' Cup where you can come in fresh, it's on the sprint side. And the two turners, they're gonna go on with it, as it were. And so we'll get Jeff Bloom's take. I reached for Jeff because we talked to Steve Asmussen last week. So let's give Jeff a chance. What a season! What, 6-for-6? Unbelievable. Or 7-for-7? Or 6-for-6? Whatever. Undefeated for this calendar, for this annum. So Jeff will join us in a little bit. John White as well. Got some sad news we've got to deal with too, on a couple of fronts. We'll get to that. Just getting going. Dick Powell starts us off.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
All right, carry the four plus this, I got that. All right. 26,876. What's that? That's how many races you could have bet last summer on ExpressBet. Haven't signed up for an account yet? What are you waiting for? On top of all those races, ExpressBet's giving away 25 million XB rewards points with promotions at Saratoga, Del Mar, and more. Plus, ExpressBet's Fun in the Sun Handicapper Tournament features $120,000 in prizes, including seats to the 2020 Pegasus Betting Championship. I know, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but here's one more. 500. That's the sign-up bonus you could get when you sign up for ExpressBet. So let's recap. 26,000 races, $500 sign-up bonus, $120,000 handicapper tournament, and 25 million rewards points. Hey, this math just adds up. ExpressBet is your way to play this summer. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open an account with ExpressBet and reside in the state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the turf meets the surf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $120,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $5,000 for first, $2,000 for second, $1,000 for third, and $500 for fourth. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win a Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seat, a $12,000 value each. ExpressBet account holders register free once to play all summer. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet, Saratoga, and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania Breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com, use a promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You can marry me on the bundle light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
We're back. 20 plus into hour one on this Tuesday. And Dick Powell joining us. We're going to talk a little Presque Isle in a minute, but I want to get Dick's take on the track bias discussion, because Dick is famous for his meticulous recording of you and Jim Corns. Who's more obsessive about track maintenance, you or Corns?
Corns.
Right? Corns is crazy when it comes to that.
Yep. I learned from him.
He has famously, I remember that
I'm so bad, I'll take a picture of the tractors going around and I'll send it to him.
There was when Frank Passero was the driving everybody crazy with his mercurial track superintendent methods, and Jim was like, he'd come into the trailer at Capital OTB. You see what he's doing? You see what he's doing now? He's he's cross raking and he's back raking and he's yeah. It was pretty funny. It drove Corns nuts.
Well, a lot of it occurs between 10 in the morning after training and 12.
Right.
And that's when they'll be scraping the rail, or that's when they'll be doing these type things. So they're by the time you get to the track and you look out and you don't see what's been done, they don't do it during training, but there's that gap in between a couple hours, and you'll see them scraping and doing whatever they're doing. And it's helpful. I think it's one of these things that, in the grand scheme of things, you're probably better off not even knowing. So every time it helps you, you might overreact and hurt you. But there are trends, there are tendencies. I don't think we've seen any real dead rails per se, but I think the inside has not been the place to be as compared to three paths off. And you see that with some of the riders, that even when they make the lead, they're not hugging the rail. They're making sure they're well off of it. And, it makes it difficult, because with ground loss is not always a bad thing. The year of Animal Kingdom won the Derby, every winner that day was out in the middle of the track. The year that Josemeyer won the Breeders' Cup Classic, I mean, every winner on the Derby, I can go back to every one of them, was Caleb's positive. They're all out in the middle of the track. And that's where the best footing was. And so we get those extreme days, and then on a day-to-day basis, you get kind of the tendency of, maybe the inside's not the greatest, but you will see a horse win from there, and you'll see a horse dominate from there. Now, Chancellor, I thought with him is he got away a little flat-footed, and having to press the pedal down and use that energy to get up and secure his position, might have been the difference at the end of the race when he ran out of gas. Who said it the other day? Frankie. Frankie got beat on Crystal Ocean, and Japan ran him down in the last furlong. And he said, my horse showed too much energy in the beginning, and that's what I needed at the finish. So even something like that can catch you. And so Chancellor was on the inside the whole trip. He gets caught. But he had to extend energy after breaking a little bit slowly, especially from post one. You break slow, you've got to go. You just can't say, I'll start today. So that kind of horse has to go, and probably used up just a little bit too much energy. I thought that was going to be the fastest of the seven furlong races. Instead, it was the other race that went 120.80. Chancellor's race went in 21, which is plenty fast. But after seeing the first seven furlong sprint go in 20.80, I thought the others would go just as fast. Travis won in 201 in a very, very good time. And then when you consider the ground loss on the second half of the race for Cote d'Armes, he was able to save ground first half. But the second half, he wanted to get clear, didn't want anyone in his way. And Johnny had a moment.
Well, and he also, Johnny had steered him out to the middle of the, more or less the middle on the backstretch, and, knew, not to wait if he was going to do an inside-outside trip, not to wait until the second turn, to do the feathering out. As I said to Shug yesterday, for those of you that might have heard the Shug visit this morning or yesterday or whatever on pod or archive, when the chiclets popped up, Dick, on the backstretch, and you saw the two with spacing on either side, I thought, oh, this is this is ideal, and it was so easy to see that green cap, and actually in terms of the call, Larry Colmus picked him up at just the appropriate time. You could see on the turn that that he was mowing him down and gaining position. It's funny how Johnny and I may have come up with you last week, how it was apparent that Johnny was had awoken from a first half meet slumber, and the wins and big wins coming in bunches, and that trip to California even contributed to it. So huge day for the Hall of Famer. And for Shug, you can't say enough, Dick, and you've certainly watched his career unfold. I had this conversation with John Parada yesterday off the air, and with with Hammer as well. We talked about this, and I'll bring it up with Sid tomorrow. Shug isn't getting the top sellers at the yearling and two-year-old in training sales. He gets the occasional purchase from some of the other the small group of other clients that he has these days, but for years and years he basically has had to play the hand that the home breeding program of Phipps Janney was dealing him. And for him to fashion Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer and churn out the winners that he has, it's really a testimony to to his brilliance. I think in a lot of ways that if it's possible that Shug is underrated in today's training landscape.
It's a perfect team because Shug is patient and the owners are patient. So if you get a horse that matures early, like a Cote d'Armes, one first out, just missed in the Champagne, knew he was going to be on the classic trail, and he's able to perform under those circumstances. What everyone misses is when you're training homebred horses, you haven't gone to a yearling sale and picked out the best ones. You're getting the ones that those mares have produced, and some are better than others, obviously, with daughters of personal ones and years ago, things like that. But you also have horses that aren't well-conformed or have problems or whatever it might be. And so it's not as easy as it seems than to go to a sale and there's five good colts and you're able to buy two of them. I think the program is kind of veered into turf. And what I was always curious for Cote d'Armes, being by noble mission as a full brother to Frankel, is that let's say he ran bad in the Derby, would we see him in the Belmont Derby? you know, would he switch over to turf with that pedigree? And he ran, I thought he ran great for 30. I thought his third, I know a lot of people said he can't get a mile and a quarter with the stretch of the Derby. First of all, it's a screwed up track. Second of all, Luis Ayaz came over on him after he,
yes, he
went
did.
Out.
Tightened it right up.
Went right over, right yep. next to him. And even if he didn't hit him, it was just like at the worst possible time, intimidated him, whatever you want to call it. And I thought he ran great through the stretch. What I like from that point on is Shove did an old-school training under new-school circumstances. He backed off, went to a mile. And I always like one-turn mile races because they can get you fitter than anything else because you're under a drive for the most part right from the gate. So he wins the Dwyer very convincingly. No Jim Danny, no Haskell, no other prep. Trains him up to the race. So the old-school part is just prepping off a mile to go a mile and a quarter. The new school is the amount of time in between races, which I'm not crazy about, but that's the new school. So Chuck just had it timed perfectly. It's just like he brought the horse to a boil last Saturday. The workout before that, I guess, was brilliant. And when they came in the paddock, he got to be 100 pounds less in weight than any of his rivals.
Oh, easily.
He's not.
He's tiny.
He's
pretty darn small.
He has stallion potential, but we don't want to call him tiny. but he is noticeably smaller than the others. And my thing has always been, you're going a mile a quarter. Why do you want all that size and weight? You go to a track meet. The big kids aren't running the mile. They're running the 100, you know, 100 and 200. So he looked. All horses came in the paddock, well-behaved. It's a nice, cool day, so there was no excuse to be hot or sweaty or anything else like that. They all seemed to survive the walkover, which, you know, that's quite a lengthy walkover to go through that crowd to get there. And that can key up a horse. But they all walked in. They all looked great. Noble Mission, Coat of Honor looked great. And when he finished the race, if you just looked at the picture, you'd say, what was it, a sloppy track? Was it Buddy that day?
Yes,
he was pretty well coated, his whole chest and everything. And that makes calling. So for Larry to call the race with this late in the summer and the sun starting to set in the west, coming right across the track, and then you see a horse covered with mud and stuff, they're hard to pick out. They kind of blend, but he was in that drive, and he was just fantastic. He was certainly the best on that day. And your interview with Shug yesterday, it was like going to a diner and sitting next to Shug talking to Robbie about plans and horse. It was fantastic. And you did something that 99% of interviewers never learn how to do. If you want the other person to talk, shut up. Silence is the best motivator to get people to speak.
Well, and he's...
Most interviewers... Do you remember Spencer Ross?
Oh, sure.
And he used to do that. He used to do a show with Dave Johnson and Stan Bergstein on the harness Thursday and Saturday night. So one night they got the International Trot at, I think it was Roosevelt, and Stan was famous for asking a question, answering the question, and then basically, do you agree? So the French guy wins the International, as usual, and Stan goes through this, you know, circumnavigation question about this and that and everything else, and then he answers his own question, and then he basically says, do you agree? So now this guy translates it. The guy translates it into French, word for word, perfect translation, and the driver says, oui.
Well, I get excited to talk to Shug, and with this particular set of events, it almost felt, Dick, preordained, but all summer, all spring into the summer, we were talking, you know, the 30th anniversary of Sunday Silence and Easy Goer. It just so happened, you know, I was involved in that fundraiser at the beginning of the meet with captain, and we had the gala, and I had suggested, celebrating, the Saratoga season of Easy Goer and the Whitney Travers wins, and there was that at the beginning, and so this really felt like a bookend to, to what, was conceptual at the beginning of the summer. And whenever there, even when there's a famous Hall of Famer of Shug's that passes away, and I always call him and let him just riff on the career, it's captivating because he's got such a institutional memory of his horses, and invariably he offers elements of the stories that have never been heard before, that for one reason or another may never have come out. And so I'm happy to just, tee it up and let him just, talk out what his thinking was along the way, because it's always captivating, and he's a treasure. And one thing that I did not get into with him, and I had thought about it on Sunday night. Had you seen the New York State Gaming Commission veterinary reports? Well, they go online for the big days like this, and yes, every horse had, some modest treatment leading up to Saturday, except mm-hmm. Code of Honor. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Zero. It was obviously coming into the race in 100% perfect order, and I'll go back to what I said Friday. Shug was, there's a few horsemen, Shug, Bill Mott, you can just tell when they're brimming with confidence about how their horse is coming up to a big race. And Shug was, he was sky high coming into Saturday.
And one thing I liked about him, about Code of Honor, was the mobile mission aspect, being a full of Franco. Now, Franco was a miler, and they stretched him out to mile and quarter as a four-year-old, but his best distance is probably in between. As a sire, Franco has not replicated himself as far as brilliance. The remarkable thing with Franco is how his offspring want to run all day. They want to go a mile and a half. You might see some in the St. Ledger in a couple of weeks. I mean, they're just stamina-oriented. And so with Noble Mission, I wasn't worried about anything pedigree-wise, his ability to get the distance. And it's also an interesting thing, Steve. It's one thing to get a mile and a quarter on the first Saturday of May when horses might not be physically mature enough, especially in his case. What was he, a May 23rd foal, which I think kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Yep.
But then months later, under the tutelage of a great trainer, you see Chief's Crown, good example, came back, won the Travis, couldn't get the Derby, couldn't get the mile and quarter, but months later, with a little more maturity and experience, was able to get it. And I like them. I haven't liked many horses all meet that have performed the way I thought, and he performed exactly the way I thought. I didn't think the race would go the way it went in terms of Tacitus gunning to the front out of the gate and setting up a little bit of a scramble that I didn't expect, that probably Tax took the worst of it, because Tax figured to be stark and second open instead of his a little bit farther behind. But
you had the, looking at Bikinis, the stumbling start changed the complexion,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Yep. That's a contributing factor.
But it was, well, I mean, I wound up sitting having lunch with Johnny D on Sunday.
He told us yesterday. He mentioned that he mentioned it yesterday. Your first serious opportunity to meet Johnny.
Yes.
Nice.
And It's the outdoor pies on wheels.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Yeah.
And Zito and I, did he mention Zito was there?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So Nick and I go there, and I was holding the table, and Nick was online. So these two guys come over. Johnny had the sunglasses on. I don't know who he was. That's like the wraparound golf sunglasses. And I said, well, these two were taken, and then Nick came over, and then we realized who introduced us to Will, and they were up for the weekend, played golf, had a good time. But, yeah, they couldn't have picked a better time to come up to Saratoga.
Every year, that's their summer trip. They always come up for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I said, so that was fun sitting with them and talking with them, and, you know, just out at the picnic table.
That's the best. That's part of the appeal, no doubt. And you know, overall, Dick, before we talk Presque, overall, it seemed like an idyllic. I mean, it killed me, and probably broke a 25-year run for me. Of consecutive Travers, but it seemed like just an idyllic day for everybody. Perfect size crowd, and the racing couldn't have been better.
Yeah, no, it was everything went the way it was planned. It was strong. It was like a Breeders' Cup day, and the Travers, I used to say this thing. I used to do more work, not work, but volunteer work at the museum than I do now. But I used to be on these Saratoga panels before the meet would open. And you'd always get these questions about, is someone coming? What about this? What about that? And I'd always say, Saratoga doesn't need stars. Saratoga makes stars.
Nice.
And it's Code of Honor wasn't a star beforehand. It certainly is now. And obviously, Nimbabizu. As a star, it surely was. Mike Smith sends out another one against Jose. That has to start getting a little personal. Abel Tasman.
Yeah.
Midnight Beast.
They're piling up on her. That's But that's, you know, that's what one of the things, though, that having horses, come through a venue, multiple times, that's one of the real appeals. I mean, that's what makes, whether it's horses or whether it's the stake itself, that's what makes it storied, by having, those kinds of confrontations to look forward to, and then to have them actually materialize. That's the best part. Sometimes it's a procession. Sometimes it's one horse dominating, and frankly, that's what we saw in the Travers. But, when you have that kind of shoulder-to-shoulder pair of performances, that's just what sends people home wanting to come back.
It was, even though they were on different parts of the track before they hooked up, it was eerily reminiscent of last year's Percy Winston.
Yep, absolutely.
They battered and little bumping, but still neither one of them gave an inch, and someone came out on top. Did you see, by the way, last week, Linda Rice had a horse in a 7-furlong off-the-turf race and could not have broken any worse.
Yeah.
It was the 13th horse. I can't remember the name. And could not have been farther behind. Chicklet didn't even have a Chicklet. But Chicklet was so far off the screen. And then the Chicklet starts catching up and catches up to the 9, so now she's caught up to the back of the pack, and then passes horses on the turn, swings out in a stretch. Now, usually, you've done all that work, and then keeps coming and wins the race. I guess the Trot had it 19 lengths behind in the first furlong. But that was, I can't remember seeing a horse. There used to be a horse at Oakland Park named Chindy, He's a great horse who would rally if someone see it in sprints. But this one was so far behind. Holy tackle. Maybe to get the money or something like that. Get something wins.
That was Nasty Affair.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was wild. But I guess she was out in the right part of the track.
Yeah, I think that was last Thursday. That was Nasty Affair. I'm almost positive. The Liaison, Statebreds. Might not have been the best group, Dick, as it turns out. They got a 60 buyer.
I think, just an aside on that. I think she was bred by Tracy Egan.
Oh yeah?
I'm pretty sure. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure I noted that when I was looking at the horses and stuff. But yeah, it's been 6 more days, but it's been fabulous. I mean, it's just you go and you get to see these great horses, and I love going to the paddock to see them up close. And man, I tell people what it's like to live in town. Well, you go over the track on a Friday and see the greatest stake race. Or sometimes during the week, I just go over and I say, oh, I'm going to go get lunch. Go over to the track, see some friends, have some lunch, stay for a couple races. Might not stay the whole day, but you know, just having it in your backyard is just—it's
a treat,
unbelievable.
No, it's as Jay Privman says about Del Mar, home game when the circus comes to town. So. Another 6 opportunities for everybody. And I know lots of people, we got one of our partners, Tony Montanino. Tony always comes up the last week. He loves the Labor Day week. And we got a little, there's a little iffiness about weather-wise late tomorrow. But other than that, it looks like we'll have a really good closing week. And we've got wonderful 2-year-old races that will shape up, and that's really true. Or you know, on both coasts too. We got the Futurities and debutantes, the hopeful, and the Spinaway, and also the 2-year-olds on the grass, which has really become a thing, and we look forward to that as well. Dick, let's talk about what we're looking forward to out at Erie and a little Presque Isle action.
Okay. This past Sunday was the last Sunday of the meet. So now this next week, they go back to their 4-day week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So no Presque Isle on Sunday for the rest of the year. Tomorrow, the Presque Isle Mile and the Malvern Road Stakes close. So anyone out there looking to enter those big, big races at Presque Isle, which will be run, I think, on September 9th, they close tomorrow, August 28th. So if you're a horseman, pay attention to that. The last couple of days were interesting because Pablo Morales won 2 on Sunday and 4 last night. So he now has 6 in the last couple of days. He's cut Gallardo's lead to 7. So it is reachable. They just keep battling. And to show you how good these guys are, Gallardo has 101 wins. Morales has 94. Third place has 42 wins. Talk about pulling away from the field. Scott Speed with 42. Ronnie Allen Jr. 39. Mario Pino 35 with few amounts. So the 2 top riders just continue to win in bunches. And the numbers are so strong. I mean, Gallardo's. Morales' number in second place would normally be leading just about any other season. But the 2 of them, and they're not winning against, you know, they're not winning at expense of the other guy. They just keep winning at expense of the rest
of everybody else.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I like Morales. I've always liked Pablo Morales. And going back to when he broke in and he, you know, was around New York a little bit, and then he, you know, since then he's traveled. But I've always thought he was competent and capable.
And he's, you know, he has 1.6 million in earnings out there. I know he goes to Tampa, and he rides well there, and purses are good there, and especially the stake horses and stuff. So hey, that's a nice circuit for someone. They go to Northern Florida for wintertime and come up to Western Pennsylvania, which is a vacation area in the nice weather, which most of the meet is. And you get to ride over to Topeka, so it's safe. You don't have any horses going down underneath you and stuff like that. So for a jack, it's consistent, and the business is consistent. The clients, many of them come up from Tampa. We're already affiliated with many of the trainers. That's his guy, Otto. So, yeah, he's very good, and he's just knocking on the door trying to get past guy Otto. But so far, last week it was 10-1 difference. This week, it's 7 wins. Among the trainers, Jerry Brooks continues to dominate. He has 37 wins and 59% of the money. Ron Potts is now tied, Teresa Connolly second with 26. And Ron has the most money earned of all the trainers because he's won a couple of stake races. And then John Burke, who's been hot, he had 2 winners the past couple of days. He's in fourth with 22. He's winning at 23%. Tim Gurton is winning at 23%. Darren Rodriguez is 35%. Matt Kintz is 29%. And the Singalix trainer, Dan Conway Jr., ships in, and man, he's taking on the money. He's winning at 38%, 69% of the money. So a lot of the trainers with smaller type stables are sending out very live horses. And they continue to, they're watching, because you might not see their name in the entry box day after day like the top three or four trainers do, but they're coming in and winning at a very, very good clip. Some come in from Singalix, some come in from Ohio. Couple come in from Mountaineer, but they pick their spots, and they pick their spots well.
You mentioned John Burke, and last night they popped a $19 winner. So if he's hot, he isn't necessarily getting bet. And I know you had a lot of short priced winners yesterday, for the most part, and. Teresa Connolly with a pair, with that pair of wins, but a $19 winner in the fourth for Burke yesterday.
Morales. He had a $10 winner the first race on Sunday, both with Wilbur Allen Carr. So they combined for a lot of wins there. And yeah. Those are the little nuances that you pick up with trainer Jack and who's the live rider for this trainer and stuff like that. And Alan Carr is certainly Walt's guy. Potts usually uses Uber via Gomez, but then you start seeing Giovanni Garcia. And Garcia wins for like 26% riding for Potts. So you get these first tier, second tier go-to guys, and it's fun to follow because it gives. It, you know, what's good for me, Steve, is I write analysis on the Prescott Downs website, and I do my picks, and I write some analysis. So the analysis is pretty good because there's all these angles to write about. So it helps me.
Yeah, it's been an interesting season, and I do. You know, I do sense here as they get, you know, down to the last couple of weeks, it's been, I got the sense, Dick, it's gotten a little more of a challenge to, you know, to keep the fields, you know, as close to full as possible. You know, it's that time of year where, you know, outfits will start to, you know, will start to send horses out of town and you know, get ready for their next stop. I mean, certainly here at Saratoga, it was notable. I came over for TV on Sunday, and you know, here it was. Some horses hadn't cooled out from Travers Day, and I happened to see like four vans on the grounds that were, you know, were picking up horses and you know, any number of them probably heading to Keeneland and back to Churchill and so forth. But you know, it is that juncture where, you know, where outfits start to, you know, get ready for their next stop.
Yeah, luckily for press, now we go back to 4 days a week, so we're through the 5 days.
Makes it a little easier.
But
yeah,
four day week should hopefully resolve that, or keep that from happening too badly.
Well, how about some action today?
Tonight. Speed's been doing really well lately, and what's been funny is it's not tactical speed, it's blowout speed. Like, jocks have been sending and opening up have been very hard to catch. I don't know if that's a circumstance or what, but it's been very noticeable. So, knowing that, we're going to go to race number five. We're going to skip some of the early races with the short fields and lower prices. We'll go to race number five. Number two, Pretty Surprised. Jerry Brooks, leading trainer. Pablo Morales is the rider. Horse for course angle was a good third. Last time out, has some back class, had been kind of up and down the class ladder. But I think from the rail, not going to make the lead, but I think he can sit and save ground, and then hopefully Morales can find something in the stretch. This one's going six furlongs for five claimers. So we'll go with number two, Pretty Surprised. Race six, I like the price here. Number five, Oxley Gap. This is a Dan Conway Jr. shipper from Single Lakes. Actually comes in here off of 58 and change Breeze of Single Lakes. Tried to teeter for the second time on July 22nd and opened up a big lead before weakening weight. Only got through the length that day. Ran against optional 10. Now moves into open allowance. But our open allowance races aren't very deep. So you see horses moving up and down in class, and you just got to go on recent form. And I think Oxley Gap has the right running style where Emmanuel De Diego, who is regular rider at Single Lakes, hopefully can send this one and open up a lead and see if we can hang on at 10-1 morning line. And race seven looks like a two-horse race between the four and the five. The four is John Brooks' Distinctive Flower with Wilba Alencar. I'm going to try to beat it with the five, Silent Sophia. They're both very fast. It's going to be kind of an interesting race to see who can beat who going into the first turn. But I think five has a little more back class than the four. And hopefully Evan Walker can either go or start. But I think these two will separate themselves from the rest of the field. The only difference is the four probably will take a lot more money than the five. So we will go with the five. So race seven will go at number two. Race six will go with the long shot, number five. Race seven, it looks like a two-horse field. Five and four will go with five for the better price.
Very nice. Well, and I'm looking ahead to Wednesday as well. It happens to be a maiden special as the third. Seven-horse field, six betting interests because there's a Wayne Rice entry. But Linda is sending that Hurricane Hill, who was a fast closing going back about 3 weeks, that FedBiz gelding. Hurricane Hill is going to be a short price for Linda in there.
I picked it. He went off at really long odds over here, 37-1. Drew outside, turf sprint, rally. Didn't really threaten, but still got a third, 3 lengths behind. I don't know if that's his running style or just the bad start got him away to that kind of trip. But Hurricane Hill ships in, and Linda wins 29% with her second-time starter. So they improve off their first start. And you got a very well-bred Godolphin horse, number six, Kalu. And Owen Hardy has been shipping Godolphin horses over from Arlington.
And killing it.
There was a good one in the other night. What was it, a Ghost Zapper? Yeah, I wrote it down too.
This is a Ghost Zapper.
Okay.
As it happens.
No, it was a Tappet, yeah. It was a Tappet winner for Owen the other night. And the horse looks very good. Looks like, it's you know, when you have a nice stable like Godolphin, a nice stable, and you can take the advantage of, I think I'll ship over to Presque Isle and get a couple of races and learn, you know, move the educational process along. You're not running for $90,000 maiden purses, but the horse is getting a lot out of it and coming back sound and everything else. And it's, for them, it's well worth the ship over from Chicago.
Well, and Owen is is poaching left and right. We talked to him last week, and he got taken down from the Canadian Derby up at Century Mile. And in fact, the Century Mile wrapped up their season, their inaugural season, and seemed to really please. People were a lot of nice things were said about Century Miles. And then now they're going over to the other, to the sister track, Century Downs. But Owen Hardy seems kind of born again and very quiet for an extended period. And it's funny because when I reach out for a trainer, and you know, I've got a lot of times, unless their numbers change, I've got the record of our conversations, and sometimes I'll be shocked, you know, at the length of time, you know, and I didn't even want to bring it up the last time Owen had been on. So he's got himself some nice horses again, and including the one that he went up to, won that stake. We talked, you know, about with him last week. That Fair Maiden is her name, the one that Catch a Glimpse. So Owen Hardy doing okay.
Yeah, he won third race Sunday on Taos. It was Tappet out of a Seeking to Go mare. That's a half sister to what's that fire that the Oxys had? Now I'm drawing a blank. I even looked it up today. Oh well,
that's Uncaptured.
No.
The other one? Who do you mean? You don't mean the Monarcos? Who do you mean?
No, Steve, I don't want to spend 2 hours thinking about it. You'll have no show.
You got me interested.
He won the hopeful.
He's just starting out, and yeah, that they loved. In fact, we just talked about it with Cassie. I don't know.
I'll have it in a second.
And in fact, they're running nice. They're running commercials for him. Oh my gosh, he was a bit of a wacko. You had to do this. You had to do this, Dick. Right?
No.
You had to. Classic Empire.
Well, no, that's not who I'm thinking.
You're not thinking of Classic Empire? Who? Who's left?
Sky Mesa.
Oh, Sky Mesa. That goes back.
I know. But he won the hopeful, and this dam is a half to him. And she's also produced, I don't know how to pronounce it, Luckolin or Lucullin.
Luckullin,
nice, yeah. Force that Karen,
yeah,
has by heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That was a nice, well-bred winner for Owen on Sunday night here. So, yeah, they're just shipping over very live horses and usually going two times, and usually they're bred to the ninth. And Jonathan Shepherd had a winner the other night. He's had a strange...
Last night he won.
Yeah. And he's only had, I think, 4 wins, but he has 20-something seconds and thirds.
Wow.
So he was only winning like 8%, but he had all these other placings. So his horse is alive. They're coming in, running well. They just haven't been getting the wins. But he did have a winner, and I'm sure that'll change. But we got speaking of the end of the meet, we go to October 17th this year.
Oh, okay. So there's a full of good 6 weeks left.
We got all that stakes action in September.
All right. Nice. Yeah.
So goodbye. Back to 4 days, no more Sundays, and we'll continue on.
Very good, Dick. I appreciate it, and we're also even with the end in sight, we're also eyeballing the start of the season at Hong Kong. Is almost ready to start. Yeah, getting ready. So we'll talk Thursday.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks.
I appreciate it, Dick Powell. Everybody. We'll take the top of the hour break. Jeff Bloom going to join us. John White as well. Andy Serling and more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania Breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.